It's here, the Omaha Steaks Cyber Sale. We're talking 50% off site-wide and an extra 20% off select packages. There's no better time to shop for everyone on your list. And when you shop omahasteaks.com today, you'll get an additional $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. With Omaha Steaks, you can slay your gift list and send a perfect assortment that everyone will love. USDA certified tender steaks, beefy burgers, premium air chilled chicken, decadent desserts, and so much more. There's something for everyone on your list. And every bite is backed by their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't wait. Shop the Cyber Sale now at omahasteaks.com to save 50% site-wide and an extra 20% off select packages. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, code HOLIDAYGIFT. Hurry, sale ends December 2nd. Terms apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Paratalk. Today, myself, Gareth Davis, and Reeves Cook. Hi, Reeves, by the way.
Hi, Gareth.
We're going to be discussing a really unusual and somewhat obscure case. This case is total high strangeness. It happened a while ago. It happened back in the 19th century in the United Kingdom. And I know there's a lot of people out there who might be very familiar with paranormal phenomena and its cases, strangeness that dates back God knows how long. But this one might throw you off a little bit. This is very, very strange and somewhat unknown. Tell us about it, Reeves.
Well, I think the word bizarre is a good way to explain this case. It goes all the way back to 1873. When a couple who originally had a busy life, they were quite well-to-do, they worked and lived in the city of Leeds. They're like many people who lead busy lives, now and again, you want to get away, or have a weekend away just to unwind and recharge your batteries. And
they were going on holiday, on vacation for
a couple
of days, right?
Yeah, it was just a bit of a getaway, recharge your batteries, you know. Get away from work, get away from the humdrum. They took a train from Leeds, and they arrived in the city of Bristol, which obviously very historic city, lots to do. Back then, quite a sort of a place to be, you know, there was a lot going on. They arrived in the city of Bristol for a weekend away. They basically got off the train and they went to their place of residence for the weekend, which was the Victoria Hotel, which still stands today.
Before you get into where's and what's, let's talk a little bit about the couple. Who were they? What were their names?
Well, they were Thomas and Jane was their names. They were a married couple. They worked up in Leeds, which is another city. They just decided to have a weekend away.
So Thomas and Jane Cumston.
Yeah, that's obviously, we know, the incident comes in their last name.
All right, okay.
They just wanted a weekend away, so they come down to Bristol. I mean, in those days, you could pretty much, it wasn't like now where you have to make phone calls and arrange things and stuff. You could basically, you know, jump on a train, go somewhere and, you know, walk into a hotel and book a room.
Yeah. Have you got any rooms?
I haven't personally, no.
Yes, sir. Come in, sir. Right? You know, they just show up at the hotel and away you go.
So that's what they did. And everything was fine. Everything was grand and dandy. And they went out for the day, and this was on the... they arrived in Bristol on, I think it was the 8th of December. They arrived in Bristol. Everything was fine. They got their hotel. They went out for exploring and, you know, like you normally do, out and about, do a bit of shopping or whatever. They returned back to the hotel, you know, had dinner and stuff. Later on in the evening, they retired to bed.
Let me just ask you this, Reeves. They stayed at the Victoria Hotel.
Yeah.
In
Bristol.
In Bristol. Now, was there any other strange goings on at this hotel? Did it have a reputation, or was this something?
Obviously, this story is kind of on the fringe, shall we say. This account is not something that has been in a lot of books. I think it appeared in one newspaper called the Paranormal Gazette way back.
Right.
It appeared in two newspapers, the recount of the story. The Bristol newspaper and a London newspaper, and that was about it.
We should mention Victoria Hotel in Bristol is still around.
Yeah, it's still around. Had a bit of a facelift. All the buildings that were involved in this account that we will recount is they're still around. Obviously, some of them aren't what they were then. They've changed into different usage now. but they're still around, the buildings themselves. So, I mean, it's, you know, the places are still there. There aren't many accounts of other things happening at the hotel. This is why this incident is quite interesting, because it's very isolated. It was about 3 a.m., I think, when Jane Cumston woke up, because she could hear people talking outside their room.
Right.
But the voices that she could hear, she couldn't make out what they were saying.
This is very, very common. You hear voices or whispers.
Yeah.
And you clearly hear what if it's a man or a woman or a child, you understand exactly, you know, what sex and age the voice is coming from, but you could never understand what they say.
Later, when she recounted what had happened, she said that they sounded like male voices, and they were having a kind of a hushed conversation, like they didn't want people to hear what they were saying. And she could clearly hear that they were outside of there. Obviously, the doorway led onto a long landing, being a hotel. The people were at the other side, well, what she thought were people, were the other side of the door.
Yeah.
And of course, when the voices went away, she got to a point where she got up and went outside to investigate, and there was no one there. So she went down and asked the landlady who was in the house. And the landlady said that she didn't hear anything. No one was in the house apart from the guests, and that was it. So then Jane Cumston retired to bed. It was about maybe 30 minutes later, when she was drifting off to sleep, that the atmosphere in the room where she recounts changed. And she started to get worried because the room was changing. It was going to get a bit colder. And she could hear these people talking again, but they seemed to be like right outside of their door. And she started to get a bit worried, and she woke the husband up. They called out to ask if anyone was there. They didn't get any reply. When the atmosphere in the room changed to become more charged, they were calling out to these individuals. And the interesting thing is, the voices they were calling out to were saying the same things back to them. So they were basically mimicking what their voices were saying. So they were calling out, is anybody there? And the voices would call back, is anybody there? So it was a kind of an echo.
Where would it come from, though?
It was coming from what they described as just outside of their room.
Just outside the room, as if someone was out there at the door.
Yeah, just listening to what they were saying and mimicking back what they were saying.
Okay.
And of course, at this point, they started to get a bit worried, you know, because what the husband thought was that they were robbers and they were going to rob them. The story here takes a little bit of a fork in the road, because the thing is, I've read over some accounts where they say that Thomas Cumston had a pistol.
Okay.
And he fired some shots. But there are other accounts where that part of the story isn't in the account. So I'm not too sure if he did or if he didn't.
Some accounts say he had the gun. Others just don't mention it at all.
Don't mention it at all.
But is there a special relevance of him having the gun, though? Does it, you know?
Well, not many people back in the 1800s carried pistols with them, unless there was a reason. So I think that kind of stands out for me. Anyway, Thomas Cumston, he allegedly fired some shots, but nothing happened. So he thought, well, something's got to be done. I'm going to have to find out what's going on. Now, this is where it gets interesting. He pulled the covers back and stepped out of the bed. Now, normally, when you step out of the bed, you step onto the floor.
Yes, yes. Normally, that does happen. That's true.
But in this case, there was no floor.
What?
Exactly.
We gotta focus on this. So he's all this noise, and he gets concerned. He thinks, I'm going to go and investigate. He throws back the covers. His feet,
quite angrily,
jump out of the bed, and he goes to stand up, and
there's no floor.
So does that mean that he falls, you know?
He slips, he grabs onto the bed, and his wife jumps across and grabs his arm. So he's half hanging on the bed, and he's hanging into what they described as a black depth of nothing.
So there's nothing there.
There's nothing there, just a void, and there's no floor. When they look around behind them, they can see the edges of the room.
Okay.
They can see the furniture, but where they are at the edge of the bed, there's just a black void, and her husband is kind of waist deep hanging into it.
Now, let me just say, I mean, I'm fairly well read on this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never heard that before. That's a new one. I mean,
yeah, it's that's why I say the story stood out for me, because it's something like you would expect to see in a like a horror film.
Yeah.
The interesting thing is that when this happened, that the voices were mimicking them and laughing at them, and then the voices appeared to be in the room with them when all this stuff was going on. The air was kind of electrified, felt the atmosphere in the room had changed, that there was this thing, this hole that the husband was half hanging in. There was voices mimicking and laughing at them. Yeah. And they actually thought, you know, that the house was collapsing and that they were going to be robbed, or there was someone in the room, or that they thought the house was being demolished at the time. They didn't know what was going on. They were hysterical. But eventually, Jane, his wife, pulled him out of this hole. They clambered onto the bed. They clambered across the bed to a large window, and they climbed out of the window in their bedclothes.
So they couldn't get they couldn't get to the door. So they went out the window.
They went out of the window and climbed down onto the like the front part of the hotel. And then what they did was they ran hysterically back to the train station, because obviously I suppose they knew it would be open, I suppose.
Okay.
And it wasn't far from the train station that they were staying. They ran back to the train station, and on the way, when they got back to the train station, because they were quite hysterical, they were stopped by a police officer who tried to calm them down. The husband was the most hysterical because obviously what had happened to him. Obviously the police constable didn't know what they were talking about, and the only thing he could do for their own safety was arrest them for breach of the peace. So he then proceeded to arrest them and take them back to the police station, where they were put in a holding cell, given something to eat until the morning, when statements were taken off of Thomas and his wife Jane. And when the statements were taken, they were then put in front of a judge the following day, which would have been the night.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they were put in front of a judge. The judge listened to the story, and then they investigated it. They were, obviously, there was no charges taken against them.
Okay.
But they did investigate it. They brought in the landlady and interviewed her, and the landlady did agree the early morning of the 9th that she did hear what seemed to be non-audible voices. And she just thought it was guests talking in the hallway. And she did hear what she thought was a little bit of a commotion later on in the morning. But she thought nothing of it, because then she just went back to sleep. And that's all. But she couldn't say what it was.
Right.
So the police investigated the premises. They investigated the room. When they came back to the room, nothing had changed. There was nothing damaged or broken. The only thing that was in array was the bed, obviously, because, you know, and where they got out and got out the window and stuff.
Right.
But there was no furniture broken or anything like that. So they did investigate, and they did write a report. The report, funny enough, they put it down to a mass hallucination.
Well, that's this is a very unusual case, Reeves. I mean, I really don't know. Yeah, it's like, I just did an extensive search for the Victoria Hotel. Still exists in Bristol in the UK, and there's lots of photographs online where you can see, you know, it's an old hotel. But I don't find anything of current or past haunting or strange phenomena.
The only documented account of this case is what I would say is a family. You know these family history websites that document people's names and where they live,
right.
around the world. There is a website which documents the story. Of the story, and they document it. That one of their relations from around the world experienced this. And it was documented in a London newspaper. It was also documented in a Bristol newspaper. And it was also documented in a paranormal newspaper for the paranormal back in the 1870s or around that time. So, I mean, and obviously it went to the court, the police that were involved. So there is
there's an official record of this incident taking place. Obviously, the people that were involved in this are long since gone. But yep. there is an official record, documentation documenting this kind of one-off, very strange, unusual case. I mean, the floor disappearing. I mean, who hears of that? That's so unusual.
Now, I think that they documented it and they basically came up with the conclusion that Thomas and his wife had a joint hallucination. They imagined all of it. I think that landlady...
Yeah, I was going to say, she heard it too, right?
Well,
yeah.
This kind of validates that, did she hallucinate as well at the same time? Was there something in the house that made them all hallucinate the same thing? You know, what was the catalyst?
I don't know. I mean, the whole thing about a mass hallucination, and we hear this a lot, you know, we hear it was a mass hallucination. Maybe we should research and do a show on something like that in the future, because it's a kind of contradiction in terms, right? How can several people hallucinate the same event?
Yeah, well, it happens a lot in the UFO field. They put that thing down to
mass hallucination.
Group hallucination.
How is that?
So I see this and everybody sees it.
Right. But how is that even possible that you can all hallucinate the same thing? I don't know.
Well, I look upon it as the brain and the mind are two separate things. And the mind is far more powerful than the brain. And I think, you know, is there some sort of way to project one's thoughts and thoughts, project them forward or into other people's conscious bubble? So many other factors out there that can contradict this and say, well, two people having a hallucination and somebody else witnesses part of what they're witnessing but isn't part of the group, then how is that possible that they're also hallucinating the same thing?
Yeah, I mean, this is a great one, Reeves. You've brought a really, classic, strange and kind of somewhat obscure tale of the paranormal to Paratalk this week. The only documentation that exists for this incident is the official documentation by the police and the courts. It also appeared in several newspapers in 1873, including the Bristol Daily Post and the London Times, dated December 11th, 1873.
Mm-hmm.
So there you have it, folks. Once again, the Paratalk bringing you strange, unusual, in this case, somewhat obscure, but what a great one. What a strange, this is a truly bizarre case. Thank you, Reeves. Yeah. Very good.
You're welcome.
Yeah, this is a good one. And we'll be back very soon with more Paratalk.
It's here, the Omaha Steaks Cyber Sale. We're talking 50% off site-wide and an extra 20% off select packages. There's no better time to shop for everyone on your list. And when you shop OmahaSteaks.com today, you'll get an additional $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. With Omaha Steaks, you can slay your gift list and send a perfect assortment that everyone will love. USDA certified tender steaks, beefy burgers, premium air-chilled chicken, decadent desserts, and so much more. There's something for everyone on your list. And every bite is backed by their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't wait. Shop the Cyber Sale now at OmahaSteaks.com to save 50% site-wide and an extra 20% off select packages. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. That's OmahaSteaks.com, code HOLIDAYGIFT. Hurry, sale ends December 2nd. Terms apply. See site for details.